book of Titus chapter 1. I want to just give an introduction tonight. We'll not take a long time in our study, but I want to deal with the first four verses of the book of Titus. We have 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus. They're called the pastoral epistles. There's a reason why they're called that, because it's dealing with the local church, the offices of the church, the qualifications of the men that will stand in the places of responsibility in the churches. And it was said in another place that write this that you might know how to behave yourself in the house of God. And he's not talking about being under control or as taking a child and trying to make them behave in the house of God, but how that we ought to structure our church so that it functions as a body of Christ ought to function. And so if we read through and study these epistles and understand that on our Wednesday night devotions, we're not going into a deep exposition of any of these verses. But as we read through them, let it speak to your heart, because there's instruction here. You never know. There may be a day that this church would have to look for a pastor. I realize my own mortality that I'll not live forever down here. And there's always a responsibility. Somebody has to fill the place. And you want to know what the Bible said about the offices, about the qualifications of the men? One of the sad things of our day is that I think we've diminished our requirements for character of men in the ministry. Somebody said to me years ago, why don't we have men that are coming up that can preach like these men of old did? I said, whenever we've got men coming up that'll sacrifice like those men of old, we'll have men that can preach like those men of old. I've told the story. I'm going to tell it again. I'm old enough that I can repeat myself. But there's a fellow named J. Harold Smith. And he talked about, as a young man, he held revival meetings during the Depression days. I was born supposedly at the end of the Depression. I wish my folks had figured that out. But we didn't. My country was kind of area of country was about like it was with the Civil War. You know, the news of the end of the Civil War and freedom didn't come down to Texas from February and took till June for the news to get here. But it was a little late about telling us the Depression was over in our area. But I love to hear Dr. J. Harold Smith preach. And he talked about how, as a young man, he's going and holding the meetings. He'd drive an old Model T, and he'd always take a butcher knife with him. He'd pray on the way, God, let me run over a rabbit so I can take it home and feed my family. And the testimony was, he said, you know, of all the rabbits I ran over, I never run over the body of one, I'd always run over their head. Now, that speaks well of the Lord. Didn't turn around with me. But I've often thought, when we get men that'll sacrifice like that to preach the gospel, then we'll have the messages like we had of old. And these books deal with that, and we'll deal with it somewhat in the book of Titus. But I want to point out that Titus did not have an easy ministry. I'm going to go over and borrow another verse for a moment so that you'll understand that there are men that need to be qualified because they've got a pretty difficult task. Paul has left Titus at Crete to establish the church, to ordain elders, or as we would look at them in our text, pastors in our day, and then to place deacons and responsible parties in the church. But look what it said of them in verse 10, and he said, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. Now, this is a pretty tough crowd then that these preachers are going to have to deal with. And Paul went on to say, this witness is true. In other words, he's bearing testimony that this is not a false report. Therefore, rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. So it's going to take some qualified men if they have to deal with this kind of ministry. There are harder ministries in one sense, in one place more than another. I appreciate these men that go into the prisons. I really do. I appreciate Brother John Yarles. That's the one we support. We've helped others of the Rock of Ages prison ministry. We don't have anything against any of them. One of them calls from Midland every now and then. He wants the night's lodging, and he can have it every time if the building's not used. In fact, I told him one time, we'll even make special arrangements. We'll put you a bed in another place. Just because I want to encourage these men, but they do have a difficult ministry. What was said of the Christians could be said of those prisoners, many of them, and probably most of them. So I'm saying all that just to say this, that this is an important book. These pastoral epistles, as we read through them, and we're picking up basically more of a devotional thought from them, but take to heart what's said here as the qualifications are given, the responsibilities are laid upon these men, because this is how the church ought to be. And the church will not be wrong if the men are qualified as these are. Okay, enough said. Let's read now verses 1 through 4 and get the introduction. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. But hath in due time manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior, to Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. Well, a lot said in these four verses when you begin to look at it. Paul speaks of himself, first of all, as he does many times, as a servant of God. That's his place, that's his duty, that's his responsibility, his privilege, is to be a servant of God and an apostle. You notice he puts that in the secondary place in this particular letter, that he is an apostle of Jesus Christ. And he said it's according to the faith of God's elect, or this is based on the truth that God had a plan of salvation to save souls that was put into effect and working even before the world began. It was something that God had promised. You say, did he promise it? Well, he promised it to man, even before man was around, that God's going to do a work. And I'm thankful for that today. I'm appreciative of the fact that I have a salvation that was well thought out, well worked out. And it leaves nothing to chance. You see, I could sure mess up things if I had the opportunity. But God has a marvelous plan. Paul said, I'm in God's plan. I'm called according to the purpose of God and the faith that's been given to the elect. And this involves the system of doctrine. In other words, it's not something that is just personal in the inner, but it's a matter of doctrine. And doctrine will be mentioned much in this particular book as we look through it. And then he talked about the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. And that's always the case. This idea today that man can be saved and just trust Jesus as Savior today and live like the devil tomorrow, there's something wrong with that doctrine because it's not biblical. When God calls, he deals, and he deals in godliness, and he calls and saves from sin, not in sin and to sin, but from sin. And so there's things are said here about this, and he speaks of the hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Now he talks about something that is laid upon him, and he's wanting to impress upon Titus as he just simply introduces this letter. He said, but hath in due time manifested his word through preaching. And this is where I come in. I'm thankful for the call of God, the privilege of preaching. Now, I realize that there's a lot that make light of preaching today. But I want you to know that I'm thankful for preaching.